Oh, thank you. Thank you. They've been really getting really good at the chihus, I'm just saying. But yeah, so we had about 26 students. It was 30 in all of us. It was awesome. A lot of fun that went to camp. This was the most students we ever brought to camp. So we are growing every year. And so I'm excited for next year again too, but also excited for what God is going to do with the students and the whole youth group this year, even jumping into the new school year. And I'm just really proud of our team, proud of the students that are involved as leaders. And so this all could not happen if you guys weren't praying for us, continue serving us. I believe in a multi-generational ministry. If you look at my ministry, we have people from all different ages that are leaders. And I'm still acquiring and hoping that God brings in more older adults, younger adults, everything, that we would have every age levels there so that these students may know that, hey, if they're looking for someone that's like little in college, they could be like, hey, you're in college. What's going on in life? Hey, you just got married. What happened? Hey, you've been married super long. Tell me about that. Because I'm hoping that these kids start to learn. When you ask questions, when you start to have friendships, not just with your generation, but having friendships with people outside your generation, it really does help as you move forward in life. And so, aloha! Aloha kakaiaka, o Abel Kealii, o kekai, or bestando, ko'u inoa. I just said, good morning, my name is Abel. I'm from the island of Oahu. I was born and raised there, Oahu built. Love you, Jesus, thank you. This is my beautiful family. If you look at the top, you'll see my two little, beautiful, awesome, amazing kids. The oldest is Kayliana, and youngest is Keikoa, and my beautiful, loving wife, which on Monday, we'll be celebrating our anniversary. Yes! 7 years, going on 8. Yee-hee! Check that, 7 years. Just wanted to, throw that out there. But it's awesome. It's been really fun and a great journey to be able to experience all of this and be a part of this journey with my beautiful wife and kids. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And I hope that you would be able to continue and see my family grow and see and be a part of our family. And so before I even jump into the word, we are in Romans 6, verse 15 through 23. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to there today. And my title for today is Transformed Life. A Transformed Life. This is a sermon that I did for the middle school, for the middle schoolers at camp this year. I kind of modified it, but I hope that you will be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. And so before we dive into the word, I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you brought your word. We thank you that you did not leave us as orphans after you ascended into heaven, but you sent your Holy Spirit to be a part of all of our lives. And so, Father, I pray that when we dive into this word, I pray that you will take away all distractions, pull away the weeds that want to hold up and take away from your word, take away the rocks that just want to make the ground so hard that we won't be able to hear. Father, soften our hearts that when the word of God, when you speak to your people, that it will not just stay there for a short time, but it will last a lifetime. And so, Father, I pray for transformative change, a transformed lifestyle, that the people here will recognize that you are the living God, the real God. And so as we read your word, let it resonate in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 15 through 23. If you don't have your Bibles, you can look at the big screen, or if you have your Bibles, you can tune in to me. I'm reading out of the NIV. And it says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body to in slavery to impurity and to every increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word. In Hawaiian culture, when ohana, which is family, if you guys didn't know, if you want to learn a little bit more, watch Lilo and Stitch. They say it several times. But in an ohana, they share stories. We all, in Hawaiian, we call this story time or talk story. The older adults would gather around. They start to reminisce about past life, history, what went on. And I would just sit on the outskirts and listen because they're bust out laughing. They're enjoying themselves. I don't know if you have family like that, but my family is like that. It's funny when you get my mom and all the uncles together because they start to reminisce about their past lives. And it's funny because I get to hear a story and hear and get to get a glimpse of my mom's past life before Jesus. And some of the things that I hear, I'm like, bro, she would never have let me do that. Like, I'm like, dang, mom. And sometimes, like, hearing what my uncle's like, one of my uncle is a police officer. And then hearing what he did in the past, I was like, whoo, crazy uncle. But it's funny getting to hear these stories, these life lessons that they're not telling at me. They're just talking. They're just enjoying life and sharing what happened in their lifetime living in Maui in Lahaina. And so it was so good to hear these stories, to listen to it. This morning, I want to talk story with you today, Ohana. I want to chat with you. I want to bring up things. And one of the things that you probably heard, I want to remind you of this one word. You probably heard of it in just a bit. It's ho'olohe, to listen. Ho'olohe, to listen. Working with the youth ministry, you know what I found out as I went to camp this year? Our church got known because one of my students kept visiting the nurse's office. He kept getting hurt. I mean, or her hurt. I don't want to throw out anyone. He or she got hurt a lot. And I had to go with he or she to the nurse's office a lot. And they would be like, oh, this person's hurt again. They even had a nickname for this student. And I was like, dang, bro, you're not listening to these nurses? Like, they gave fairly easy instructions not to do certain stuff. That student was like, I hear them, but I can't do it. I can't do it. And it's funny because it kind of falls into what we talk about. Ho'olohe means to listen. And I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he is trying to say. Revelation 3:22 says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, because he's always talking. He's always speaking. For example, at work, my boss gives me orders. He tells me, okay, this is what I want you to do. Get it done. He doesn't care how I do it. I have to delegate from that part to the people under me. I have to start articulating, okay, this is what we're doing. The Holy Spirit, who is our ali'i, our chief, our boss, our leader, he gives us orders. Now, are we listening? Are we ho'oloi? Are we listening? I'm not going to assume that all of you in here are Christian. So one, if you're not Christian, if you're not a believer, you don't identify as a believer, thank you for coming. Thank you for having that bravery to just step into this church. Thank you for just listening. I know you're searching. And I pray that today, I pray so hard that today will be a day where you kind of go, wow, this God that they talk about, He's real. He's alive. And so I hope that you would catch that. I hope that you would see that. But I learned something early on in my life. Just because I went to church, that I went to youth group, served in church, or even attended camps at a young age, those actions do not make me a Christian. At a young age, I've been in church for a long time. I folded bulletins for the people that attended my church. That still did not make me a Christian. I went to their youth camps. That still did not make me a Christian. At one point, they had me talk. That still did not make me a Christian. I shared my testimony at my church. Testimony. When we don't understand what we're talking about, sometimes we just spout out things. When we don't know. When we don't understand. Just because I did those things, associated with those things, does not make me those things. I like it just like with Pastor Mike. Just because you hang out in Taco Bell doesn't make you a chalupa. In the same way, I could buy the Portland Trail Blazer jerseys from the Moda Center. I can get their swag. I can get their shirts. I can start to know all the players, where they came from. I can learn about the past history of the Portland Trail Blazers to the present people in the Portland Trail Blazers. But that still does not make me a Portland Trail Blazer player. It doesn't make me part of their association. It doesn't make me part of their pay rate or their pay scale. It just makes me a fan who critiques them all the time. But it's interesting how we can correlate that. How we can see that. When I was at... I have the privilege to have met a student here inside of our youth ministry. He said I could give him his name. So, Ben. Zuslog. Love that guy. Love him to death. But I was blessed to be here when he started entering into the youth ministry. And I've seen this super growth in him. And it's so beautiful because whenever we went to camp, he would come up to me and he'd go, "Hey, Abel, can I please run? I would like to run." And I look at him, I'm like, at first, I'm like, I got to test the waters. Is this guy trustworthy? So I give him like, okay, sure, go. Let's find out if he actually comes back. But from every camp, he would wake up early. He would tell me the time when he wakes up. Was it like 5? No, 4. Yeah, he would wake up at something. Funny stories, but he would wake up at a time he said he was going to wake up, and he would run. And then he would be back at the time he said he would be back. There was never a point where I was going, "Hey, guys, we got to get out there and find Ben." I got his mom on speed dial. But there was never a point where I had to do that. And he would wake up, get going, and he would do that. Every camp. And I started to think about that. Wow, what a dedicated person to this lifestyle. Because I tried to run. I can't run. Look at this. This is not a running body. I try CrossFit. I mean, I'm trying CrossFit with Josh and my beautiful wife. Trying, bro. I'm not going to lie. When they say, "Hey, 200 meter run," I'm like, "Oh, man, give me the bike. I'll take the bike. Give me the roar. I'll roll, man. I'll roll." But running out there, whew, Ben, I give you that. You can have the roads. But his dedication to running, he has a lifestyle. He eats. I remember when we go up there and we're like, "Hey, Ben, you should eat this bacon." He's like, "Bro, I don't know." Or, "Take this cupcake." I'm over there, "Yeah, cupcake, bro. You put me and James together, it's a double portion of, like, bro, cupcake, cookies. But he has this lifestyle that he has chosen to live. He chose to do it. It wasn't someone like coming up to you and going, "Hey, Ben, you got to run today. Hey, Ben, you have to do this." No, he chose that lifestyle to run, to be dedicated to it. Cultural. So as for me, I learned something. There's this thing called cultural Christianity that has been spreading throughout the U.S. Cultural Christianity is this. Is someone who identifies as a Christian but may not practice the faith or have a personal relationship with Jesus. Cultural Christianity. Matthew 15:8 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Richard Dawkins, if you know anything about him, but in an interview with Rachel Johnson on London-based LBC Radio on Easter Sunday, 31st of March, 2024, he is a non-believer. For all of you guys that don't know who Richard Dawkins is, he is an atheist. He's very known for his attacks towards Christianity and his words against Christianity. But this is interesting. On this day, he says this: "I do think that we are all culturally a Christian country, and I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer, but there is a distinction between being a believer, believing Christian, and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. And I have seen that. I have experienced that. Even up into today, in the trenches of youth ministry. I have seen it when I was a child, and I still see it today. We see it in the churches. We see it in the body of Christ. Where there are people out there that are saying, I'm a Christian. I go to church, but have never sacrificed their time, energy, and money towards the kings of God. They're cultural Christians. And I have seen that so many times. Even at a young age, when I was exploring Christianity, I was trying to answer the question, what does it mean to be Christian? I felt at home in the Christian ethos, just like Richard Dawkins, but my lifestyle was far from a believer aspect. My mind and heart and strength was far from the desires of God. I had the language and enough understanding to answer anyone's question or to refute anyone's arguments with me. But I was far from God as possible because I did not want Him to control my life. I didn't want Him to be my Lord and Savior. I had the language. At the time, in a sense, when I was struggling with that words, trying to figure out Christianity, I looked at the adults. Let's just be real. The kids do observe us. Not a lot of weight, but they still observe us. We recognize which adult is true, like they're for real with the Christian faith. And we recognize the ones that are hypocrites. The one that tells us, you're going to hell. And yet we look at their life and we're going, bro, really? We've seen it. And just like when I was in that age, I sensed the same things. The adults that said, Abel, don't jump on the stage. Abel, no running in the sanctuary. Abel, don't spin on your head. That's going to crack your neck. Which they were right. That's dangerous, spinning on your head. But I didn't really fully watch the adults, but what I did was my older siblings, the people above me. Just enough, a little bit farther than me in life. That's who I watched. The siblings, the older youths of the church. And you know what they watch? Probably the people above them. And you know who they watch? Probably the people above them. You know who they watch? Probably. Just go down. Keep going. George Jankel, from his show, he says this. I heard it once said, there are five gospels. Some of you are already going, hey, there's only four. I heard it once said, there are five gospels. The most people read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Can you guess what the fifth one is? And the Christian. And the Christian. But most people read the fifth gospel. I looked directly to the people ahead of me, and you know what I learned? Cultural Christianity. From cultural Christians. Who would do whatever they want at school, at work, at home, turn around, Sunday comes around. Jesus, I know you heal me. I know you forgive me. Please, Papa, forgive me. And what does my God do? I forgive you. But they continued doing it at. And when I started to watch the older kids, that's what I learned. And so I did it for multiple years, year after year after year, thinking that's Christianity. That's what it means to be a Christian. Revelations 3:15 says it this way. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. A Christian who does not want to work and submit to God, but wants to benefit from Christianity and receive its benefits, are cultural Christians. Therefore, we all have fallen short of God's glorious standards. We all have experienced and been in cultural Christianity at some point. Maybe you're in cultural Christianity right now. Maybe you're saying, I'm a believer, but you have never sacrificed your life towards Jesus. We all worship and pursue other things than God. David Foster Wallace, an author, professor, essayist, also not a Christian, acknowledged something in his speech towards college students when he was giving this commencement speech. He says, because here's something else that's weird but true. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There's no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. If you are wondering what you worship, our camp director, Elijah Hamilton, puts it this way when he was talking at one of his speeches. He says this, I say, show me what you spend your money and time on, and I will show you what is most important in your life. This is why God and the Bible can say everyone failed before God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why? Because we all broke the first commandment. Exodus 20:3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. We all chased after other things. Dr. Timothy Keller puts it this way. Sin is radical selfishness. Sin is turning good things into ultimate things. How many times we have put something else before God? How many times we have allowed something else to put before our Christ? How many times have we said, nah, I don't want to speak to that person. Nah, I don't want to do that, Holy Spirit. No, I don't want to do that, Holy Spirit. No, I don't want to do that, Holy Spirit. I don't care right now. Talk to me another day. We are only limited on this earth for so much. Our time is not finite. We have a limit here. Replacing Jesus as ali'i or chief of our life. Replacing God as the authority of our life. Replacing the Holy Spirit's voice for our voice. I'm at fault for that too. I am not out of this boat. Ruslan KD puts it this way. What we believe will determine how we behave. What we believe will determine how we behave. Our behavior reflects what we truly believe, how we speak in public, how we act in public. What we do in private reveals what we truly believe. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Earlier, we just read Romans 6, 15 through 23. What is Paul trying to articulate there? That you have a choice to either stay in your old ways or to walk in the new. To stay in your past life where Christ has freed you from, or to walk into the freedom that Christ has freed you in. We have a choice. A choice. What we believe will determine how we behave. I was like that. I watched people, and just like that, I learned to be cultural Christians. They gave me because that's what they had. They could only give me cultural Christianity because they had cultural Christianity. They believed in it. They experienced it. When tough times came, what came out of Abel at that time? Cultural Christianity. Anger, frustration, hate, malice. You know what sin is. I don't need to explain it. We all have experienced it. You insert whatever that is. It wasn't Christ. It wasn't scripture. It wasn't truth. But contrary to the biblical teachings of Christ, they could only give me what they had, and that was cultural Christianity. In the same way that we were all worship, we all evangelize, we all share a story with our actions and our words. Nate Salas says that this way, the kingdom of heaven is about reflecting heaven on earth. It is about bringing shalom or peace back to the world. My main point, if you guys get anything today, is this simple thing. Your faith matters. Your faith matters. When we come to saving faith in Jesus, we are saved by grace, through faith, to good works. Let me repeat that. When we come to saving faith in Jesus, we are saved by grace, through faith, to good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Jesus operated in such a way where he didn't live a good life to become saved. He lived out a good life because he is saved. There is a difference. Christ wasn't living a sacrificial life because he wanted to be saved, but he lived that sacrificial life because he is saved. Therefore, Jesus' lifestyle wasn't openly abundant that those who came to him were not left wanting, but leaving Jesus with something to be able to share. You must be wondering, well, Abel, that's God. Yes, you're right. But remember, he's 100% God and 100% man. He is the outline to choose or to pursue, to go towards, to put your life and say, I'm going to chase after that. He didn't say, hey, chase after David, become like David. He didn't say, be like Abraham. He didn't even say, go and be like Adam. He said, chase after me. Seek first the kingdom of God. This is the part. He is the thing that we sprint to. We live our life to him. We are what? Christians. And so here we go. He lived this life. He was able to give out to anyone who came to him because he had something to give. We all have something to give. Now here's the question. Is it cultural Christianity or is it Christianity? We Christians ultimately share our faith in Christ not to get saved. We share Christ because we are saved. There's a difference again. We're not trying to live it out to be all holy and good. No, we live it out because that's who we are. We're Christians. We live it out. We live the gospel out. So when people look at us, they see Jesus, not us. When people say, hey, Abel, good job on the prayer, I say, good job to God. When people say, Abel, good job on preaching, I say, good job to Jesus. There's so many times where I have to learn to deflate, deflate, deflate. But you don't have to. As we live out the gospel, as we live it out, we can pass on the fruits of the Spirit when these people come to us. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. It is always so interesting when people or students come up to me and they're like, hey, Abel, life is going hard. Some of us will be like, man, tell me about it. Right there, I'm already going, Jesus, what do you want me to say? Papa, what do you want me to talk about? What fruit of the Spirit would you like this child to have? What gifts of the Spirit would you like to impart in their life so that they may know the peace of the living God? We Christians ultimately share our faith in Christ, not to get saved. We share Christ because we are saved. And once we are saved, we do those things because of the free gift of eternal salvation. This freedom of salvation allows believers to ho'olohe, to the Holy Spirit and receive their marching orders, their movement, their work. When was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit for new marching orders? When was the last time the Holy Spirit needed to remind you of the calling He has placed in your life? When was the last time the Holy Spirit reminded you of, this is your calling, this is your work that I have given you? There has been so many times in my ministry where the Holy Spirit had to remind me, Abel, you're in this ministry for a reason. I have not brought you to anywhere else, but at this place, at this time, at this moment, for a reason. I haven't moved you. I haven't brought you to anywhere else, but this is the place I want you to be at. There was times in my ministry where I'm asking the Lord, I'm having fun in ministry. He's doing great. And then He goes, Abel, this is where I want you to go next. And I'm like, why? But the point is that ho'olohe, listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. For in His ohana, you have chores. Just like in any family. If you're part of a family, you get chores. You get some sort of work. At least in my family, there was. They made me take out the trash and put away dishes. I hated that. I still hate that. But I still do it. I do that for a living too. Not the dishes part, but for cleaning. But the whole point is that when you are a part of an ohana or a family, there is work. When the guest, someone like my friends came over, they didn't have to do anything. But at the same time, they didn't get the inheritance. For in His ohana, you have a chores. Or dare I say, you have a calling to be a prayer warrior, worshiper, server, encourager. Maybe you're a greeter. Maybe you're an usher. Maybe you're the preacher. Maybe you're a youth speaker. Maybe you're just a mentor. Maybe you're a server. Maybe you're a person that encourages others. Maybe God has blessed you with a lot of things to give. Maybe you're talented with your hands. Maybe you're talented with your feet. Whatever it may be, God has given you those gifts not for you to hoard it, but to be a blessing on this earth. To look for the needy, to look for the broken, to be at ears. Maybe that will be hard. Maybe to listen. You have done it before. I know you have. Where you bless the family with money. Where you bless the family to eat something. Maybe you bless the family to stay at your house. You bless the person to be there. You bless them by being in somebody's ministry or time. You have done it before. But it doesn't mean it ends. We as believers must continue to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. You are the walking gospel. Directional arrows that point to Jesus because of what Jesus did in your life. You are the evidence of the good news of Jesus. And your faith matters, for your faith reveals your lifestyle. And your lifestyle will either usher the kingdom of heaven onto this earth, or it will be the opposite. Who does God want you to meet today? Who does God want you to serve? Who does God want you to pray for? Who does God want you to encourage, befriend, be patient with, love? Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It doesn't say pastors. It doesn't say priest. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's all of us. You don't need a degree. You don't have to go to seminary. You know the teachings of our God. All of you who identify as a believer in Christ, I know you study the word. I know you put your heads into it. I know you pray. If anything, take this as authority figure and saying, go. Do it. Maybe you got tired of doing it. Maybe you got sleepy and you're sleeping now. Maybe you've been doing it for a long time and you're like, Abel, I did that youth ministry stuff already. I'm done. Abel, I did that children's ministry. I'm done. Abel, I served as the usher. I'm done. Abel, I was on that worship team. I'm done. Abel, I did my time here or there. It was so funny because I met this amazingly awesome man and I love him. Love him. Dan Lisi. Love him to death and I miss him. He was one of the older men at my youth ministries in New Hope. He was a man that I could call on. He was a man that I can talk to. He passed away. But at the same time, his example showed me that my calling does not end in youth ministry. Just because I am done, just because maybe I'm not a pastor anymore in a Foursquare church, does not mean my calling in youth ministry ends. It is continuous to the day I die. Whatever that calling God has put in your life, it does not end when you're done at a church. It is continued until the day you are in heaven, facing your Creator, and you are saying, thank you, Papa. And let me ask you a question. Is he going to say, good job, good and faithful servant? Or is he going to say, hey, you kind of put that in the back burner. You did great at one point in your life, and then you said, nah, I'm good. God has called us. And it doesn't just end. You've seen it with the apostles. They didn't just stop when Jesus left. They kept it going. And you know what? Their work is still continuing today. What line are you going to leave behind? What are you going to leave behind? What are you going to have? You can go build pages. Thank you. Sorry. I had to shift gears on that. We all have a choice to further the kingdom of God or not. If we are believers, we all have a calling. We all have marching orders that further the kingdom of God. We all have been placed in the city at this time, in this place, with these people, at this church for a reason. Imagine if that friend finally became a Christian. Imagine if that family member finally became Christian. Imagine if that coworker finally became Christian. Imagine if that child finally became Christian. Imagine it. Imagine it. How much faith, how much belief would you need to be or need to have in your life? Would your belief and faith outlast that person's doubt? Would your lifestyle last longer than that person's doubt? The things that hold them out of this church and out of Jesus, would your lifestyle show that, hey, doesn't matter? Because my faith in his words will last forever. Will they be able to look at your life and go, wow, my mom and my dad or this person's faith is continuing even to this day. Even when we are long gone, will our faith continue? When they look at our pictures, when they look at their memories, when they look at the time they had with us, is there an imprint of Jesus right there at that point? Or is it something else? You are not done yet. Columbia River, we are not done yet. How much faith, how much belief would your prayers for that person outlast the person's doubt? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." Maverick City, the song, More Than Abel. It's funny because a lot of people come up to me and they go, Abel, you know, there's those Abel songs. How does that make you feel? Honestly, I don't like it. But this one resonates with me out of all the Abel songs. But it says this in their lyrics. Can you imagine, with all of faith in the room, what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do. It's going to happen. Just let the way maker through. He's going to move. He's going to move, church. Can you imagine? With all the faith in the room, what the Lord can do. What the Lord can do. Not you, not anyone, no human being can do anything for you. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. Will your faith outlast the doubt in people's hearts? Would your lifestyle last longer than the people's doubts? Do you have that type of faith? For all of you people that don't identify with Christ, you might be wondering, what the heck is going on? This is my God who's speaking and saying, hey, people, I love you. But just like in a family, there is work to be done. There's chores to be done. And if you are choosing to sit and be silent, I encourage you, look at the fields. It's ripe. It's ripe. What does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? The workers are few. Many are chosen, but few, or many are called, but few are chosen. Pray to the harvester. So I'm praying today, believers, to wake. Wake up. There's too many cultural Christians in the U.S. today. Too many cultural Christians, especially with an election coming up. How we acted the year before was not beautiful. And so Christ is calling us, wake up. My children, it's time to wake up. And what we choose to move forward with today will reflect. And so I encourage you, with all heads bowed, eyes closed, if you have never asked Jesus into your life, and this is people that, now I'm talking to you people that are not believers, and you're looking at this and you're like, hey, I want that, what that pastor has. I lived an agnostic life kind of thing, where I didn't believe, I believed that there was a God somewhere out there and he could, I couldn't really know him. Over time, I learned that there is a God named Jesus who died on the cross and rose again, and he is still alive and well today, and he still communes and interacts with me through the Word of God, through my prayers, and also through my church. These three testimonies have revealed to me that my God is real. He is alive. And if you are not a believer and you're like, Abel, I want that. I want that relationship with Jesus. I want to see it in the Bible. I want to see it in my prayer life. And I want to see it in a church. And you're like, Abel, I want that. I would encourage you, with all heads bowed, eyes closed, lift up your hands. If you want that, thank you. Maybe this is also a time right here. You're like, Abel, I want to rededicate, because honestly, I've been sleeping. And you want to rededicate your life to Christ and saying, you know what? I don't know what my marching orders is, but I want to be there when he does give it to me. And so I encourage you, if you want to rededicate your life, I encourage you to raise up your hand. Thank you, I see that. With all heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm just going to pray. And I encourage you to pray, if that is you. Because my God is not deaf and he's not blind. He's not crippled. He's not mute. He hears your words. And the beautiful part is, my mom got saved in my grandma's house, in her kitchen. She said a prayer and Jesus came and met her. And so in this time, if you want that, I'm going to just pray a prayer. And I encourage you to pray and cry out to your Papa, to your Lord, to your Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for what you're doing in the people's lives. Father, I thank you for the work that you have already been doing. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would boost them, Lord God, in their prayer walk, in their prayer time. Lord, open up their minds when they start to read the Word of God, that it would just jump out, like the words are jumping out of the page and just filling them up. Father, I pray that even in their prayer life, that when they start to pray, that they would recognize, ah, my prayers are changing. My words are changing. Father, I pray that even in the church, when they go to church, Lord God, that they would recognize that they have joy in the Lord. When they come into this building, when they go, whatever church they enter, Father, that they will feel the Spirit of the living God with them wherever they go. And so, Papa, we praise you for what you're doing. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would wash us clean, that you would take every sin away from us, and that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would write all of our names in the book of life, so that we may know that we are not orphans, but we are children of the Most High God. And so, Papa, we praise you. We worship you. Father, I pray a blessing over them. Let your favor shine upon all who are here and all who are tuning in online, that they may know that their Heavenly Father loves them, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Have a good day. God bless. Aloha.